just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'll make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 62 of the Devy Happy Hour. This will be our final episode of the year, just 2020, not of all time, so no worries there. And by our, of course, I mean myself, Skip Newton, at SkipNewton31, coming to you from Eagan, Minnesota, where we still have absolutely no snow. It does not feel like the winter wonderland it is supposed to be. We're actually getting a little jealous of the people out east. Bought my wife skis for Christmas. We can't even go skiing yet. Getting a little crazy over here, but I really should get to my co-host for today from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. I call him Obi-Wan. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Skip. Happy Christmas week to you. I've got to admit, you had me a little scared, though. I thought we were canceling the podcast on everybody. I was like, this is the first time hearing of this. So Skip's got some insider information I don't even have. This is interesting. Man, I'm doing good. It feels like we've been a while since we've talked some football. So it may or may not be the case, but I feel like it's been a while since I've at least been on. So I'm excited to be back talking some football. Definitely looking forward to getting to 2021. Hopefully COVID is done by then. But outside of that, there's this new episode or new series coming up on Disney Plus, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but as the resident Obi-Wan of the podcast, I'm excited to watch that show, man.
Yeah, you got to love that. And they announced a new Boba Fett, the Book of Boba, coming out a year from now in December of 2021. Which, of course, for those of you that have watched the Mandalorian season this year, it rolls right into that. So they set that up nicely. My family and I are loving Mandalorian. It was a great season. But getting into college football a little bit, we do have some news. UCF quarterback Mackenzie Milton transferring to Florida State. I did an article on this transfer just this week. Kind of big news. For those of you who aren't aware, he was one of the better quarterbacks in the league, you know, back when he was playing a multifaceted, you know, dual threat quarterback. And, you know, kind of typical, I think, of UCF if you watch him today. So potentially filling a big hole for Florida State in his final year of eligibility. You know, Matt, what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm happy for him because, you know, after that devastating knee injury that he had, you know, when Dylan Gabriel came in and took over, it was unclear whether he was going to get his job back. And I think after you see the job that Dylan Gabriel has done for that team, you know, it doesn't seem that Milton was going to get his job back. So, you know, you got to commend a kid that's chasing his NFL dreams. You know, he came out and said that he still wants to have a shot. That this is his last shot to make it to the pros. So he had a great relationship from all accounts with Dylan Gabriel. But this is going to be, I think it's hard on both of them because they had such a great relationship. So, I mean, they're both wishing each other the best of luck. I'm wishing Milton the best of luck because he was a dynamic playmaker before his knee injury. So I'm hoping he can regain some of that form next season.
Yeah, he needs to come back to form. I think he's obviously the overwhelming favorite to win the job. They don't have, you know, a great quarterback room right now, but I'm sure, you know, a guy like Tamorian Terry is thinking, oh man, I wish this would have happened a year ago because I could have used a more dynamic quarterback to throw me the ball and maybe he would have had a better season than what he ended up having this year.
So you're saying Mackenzie Milton can fix Tamorian Terry's drop issues?
Yes, I
went there.
Maybe he'd just give him more chances and his numbers would look better. I don't know. But maybe he does. He throws a more catchable pass. We'll go with that. I don't know. But I do got to get to a few other things before we get back into college football. The seasons are over in fantasy unless you're in the championship game or you happen to be in your conference, you know, finals to get into your championship game for your fantasy leagues. How did your teams end up doing this year, Matt?
Underwhelmingly poor. I think I had two teams that made the playoffs this year out of like five or six, and they both one lost in the first round and one lost in the semis. I mean, it was such a terrible season, and I mean that was this year, right? You know, I think this is the first year that I can remember where we had so many like studs just either get injured or out with COVID, and like, I mean, depth was the key this year, and a lot of my teams just didn't have the depth to compete. And I'm excited for next year. I've stocked up on some draft picks, some first and second round draft picks for this upcoming class that I'm excited for. So hopefully we can rebound next year. I'm hoping you had a better experience than I did this year because it was horrible.
I did all right. I'm in a lot more leagues this year than I was in previous years. Of course, we're in a couple leagues together. One of them, the League of the Unknown, we talked about before, because that was the league where you traded Pat Mahomes. So you kind of torpedoed yourself in that league with that move, trading the best player in the league. I made it to the playoffs despite losing Dak Prescott, but could not win in the first round. Miles Gaskin going down the day before with getting on the COVID list didn't help, but I don't think he would have made the difference. I don't remember the final score, but I don't think it was that close, or at least close enough where he would have made the difference.
And that's part of the problem, right? I mean, you're listing, if you're counting on guys this season, I mean, we're starting the likes of Miles Gaskin and Jordan Howard some weeks, and we're starting Mike Davis. I mean, this is just a weird year where you're starting guys that probably weren't even on half of the team's rosters last season.
Yeah, it has really been an interesting year, especially I think for running backs. It felt like last year the quarterbacks were just crazy because there were so many injuries. But this year, you know, you've had, you know, guys, two unknown guys really in Miami. I mean, Gaskin comes out of nowhere to be a very productive player, and then he goes down and Salvin Ahmed comes in and looks good. So, you know, more guys like that. And of course, James Robinson, you know, who knew in a deep running back class would end up being the best rookie running back of all of them. And he's just getting a ridiculous amount of production and opportunity in Jacksonville. But yeah, it's been a crazy year. Of course, the other league that we're in together, the Campus to Canton League, I made it to the semifinals and lost a pretty close game. And I didn't actually go back and look, but I did leave. Yeah, it's an IDP league, and I had Antoine Winfield Jr. on my bench, and he scored 33 points, and none of my other options in the secondary, you know, did more than like, you know, 12 to 15. It's like, oh, I don't even want to know if that would have made a difference, because all my guys this week are absolutely lighting it up, at least offensively. I'm like, of course.
I feel that because I lost one of my playoffs this week because I decided that I was going to leave Jalen Hurts on the bench, and that was the worst decision I could have made this week.
Oh, man, I had him in almost every one of my DFS lineups. I don't play a ton of DFS, but, I mean, at 5,900 on DraftKings, he was just a smash play for me. I was like, this guy is going to be – he's going to be lighting it up until teams figure out how to defend him, which I don't understand why when a dual-threat quarterback first starts playing in the NFL, they always do so well, and they always put up these big fantasy stats. It's like, why does the league have to readjust to this? Like, he's not the first guy to come out and be able to run the football. But yet every year this happens. It's like, you know, last year, Lamar Jackson has the greatest season ever from a fantasy quarterback standpoint. Teams adjust, and now this year he's hasn't been as good, although he's been better lately, and he's still a QB1, but he's not the QB1.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between him and Lamar Jackson too is, I mean, Jalen Hurts does throw a better football than Lamar Jackson does. So, I mean, there's that aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand how if you're a running quarterback, I mean, and that's not changing. Like the scheme should stay the same, you would think.
Well, or the defenses would say, okay, we've seen film on this guy, we know what he does. We need to adjust how we approach him similarly to if we were playing Arizona with Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. But nope, it's always a big surprise. And then they light it up, and then the next season they see more tape on him and they figure it out. But anyway, so I made a conference championship, you know, the semifinals in, I would say, I think it's five or six leagues. I don't want to say six leagues, and I'm gonna win in one for sure. I have by far and away the most dominant team, and my team continues to dominate. So if I don't win the title next week, I'm gonna be extremely disappointed. But the rest of them, I could all lose. It's just not a good weekend for me. But enough about our teams. There were some conference championships this weekend. Just news alert for you. I'm not sure if you were paying attention, but what did you think of those games? I didn't see any surprises myself. Your guy, Justin Fields, did not help himself out in any way, shape, or form.
Did not look hot. Did not look good at all. Yeah. So, I mean, I've said it before. Good quarterbacks are allowed to have bad games, but we're starting to see some issues with Justin Fields, specifically when it comes to reading the blitz and being a good passer off the blitz. And I think some other quarterbacks have struggled with that, but I mean, Justin Fields has really seemed to struggle with that this year. So that's cause for concern going into the NFL draft. The game that I was super excited for was of course Clemson Notre Dame. I mean, the big rematch, that was the game of the weekend to watch. And I was telling somebody the other day that was saying if Notre Dame comes in and wins this game a second time, Clemson's out of the playoffs. And I think that was a real situation where Clemson was kind of fighting for their backs a little bit. And when they came in and did Notre Dame, just absolutely put the smack down on them. I mean, that team is just a different team with Trevor Lawrence on the field, isn't it? DJ played well, and he played a good game when they played Notre Dame. But that is a different team with Trevor Lawrence under center. And I mean, that was just a fantastic game to watch. They absolutely dismantled Notre Dame. Really enjoyed the Alabama-Florida game. I feel good about my Kyle Trask. I tweeted it out, my Kyle Trask QB3 ranking after seeing what he did against Alabama. You know, Mac Jones had himself a good game too, but he's got the weapons, the playmakers that Florida's got some, but they don't have as many as Alabama does. So I was excited to watch Kyle Trask go off. Devontae Smith is, if he's not getting Heisman favorites, I don't know what else to say. I mean, this kid does it all. He's my wide receiver one. I love myself some Devontae Smith. That was another fun game to watch. Man, that was a lot of good football this weekend.
So you're taking Smith over every other wide receiver. I mean, obviously it's pre-draft, it's pre-combine, but right now you're doing
right now, before we know any landing spots, before we see combine, before we know where any of these guys are playing, I'm taking Devontae Smith over everybody.
All right. Well, and the one thing about him, you know, we've talked about this, that if you're gonna knock him, the one thing is the BMI. He's a skinny little guy, and by skinny I mean just skinny. He's not short, but that is the one thing that people will say. However, what you can't say is that he had a breakout season this year, and he's never done it before, and he's breaking out late, because this guy was lighting it up last year when that was a full room in Alabama. So he's already proven that he can have the production that we want.
He was arguably the best wide receiver on the field last year with two first round wide receivers on the board. I mean, and to say he's small, like I'm not concerned with the size at all. Cause when you watch his game film, the way he gets in and out of breaks, the way he goes up, I mean, he can go up and snag the ball in you know, competitive catch situations. Like, I mean, it's all over his film if you just turn on some of his game film, him going up and snagging the ball. And he plays in the SEC, and I don't think he's been off the field for injury one time that I can remember. Like, I'm not concerned about his size. That's not an issue for me. He's the best wide receiver in college football right now, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah, he's absolutely having the best year, and I think you saying he's the number one overall, that's a legitimate argument. I think – you know, you're going to have a few other names because it's such a deep wide receiver class, but man, it's hard to argue with the results. He has absolutely been on fire. Other things of note this weekend, you know, you talked about how great, you know, ETN was or is, and just to kind of expand on that a little bit. I'm sorry, did I say ETN? I meant to say Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence.
You know, ETN's all right too.
Yeah, we'll get to him, but yeah, Trevor Lawrence. You know, I've said, you know, for the majority of the season, it's like, this kid is really on a tier by himself. He might be on two tiers by himself. He is, and I know this word gets used a lot, but I'm hearing it, and you sit there and you nod in agreement. He is a generational talent. He's that good. I mean, he you know, the arm talent alone, puts him up there with the best. But this kid mentally has it all figured out. I mean, you can't possibly miss on this guy, in my opinion. I mean, even if he goes to the worst organization, they'll figure out a way to make him successful. I think he's going to be that good. I mean, obviously every prospect could bust, but he's so good. And I can't believe the Jets won a game yesterday against the Rams to potentially cost them that pick.
That is the most Jets thing I've ever seen. Like you can't even lose right to get Trevor Lawrence. And you know, the thing about Trevor Lawrence, you mentioned his arm, his IQ. Yeah. I'd be bad. I mean, now he's going to end up in a great situation with Jacksonville because he's got DJ Chark and LaVisca Chenault and James Robinson. Like, he somehow had all the stars aligned for him this weekend, and so you got to love that. One thing that I really love about Trevor Lawrence, too, is you've mentioned the arm, you've mentioned the IQ, the pocket presence, how generationally talented he is. One thing that doesn't get mentioned a whole lot is his athletic ability. I mean, those long strides that he has, he's a decent runner. Like, he's going to pick you up some rushing yards, too.
Yep, absolutely. He's not that pocket passer. I mean, there's some guys coming out that they are not going to do anything with their legs to make plays out of nothing. And that's a legitimate concern, I think, especially in today's NFL. You know, and your guy, Kyle Trask, is one of them. I mean, he's pretty much a statue back there. Another guy we're going to talk about later is of the same ilk. And you do have to be concerned about that, not only from a standpoint of will they be successful in the NFL, but it makes them a little more of a risk from a fantasy football standpoint. I mean, they're going to have a lower floor because they're not going to get you that rushing safety. I mean, you talked about Jalen Hurts, and immediately his floor is so high because of his ability to run the football. And look at what Taysom Hill did in New Orleans. I mean, He's not a good passer. I mean, how many games did he play and how old was he before he finally threw a passing touchdown? And he still has a high floor as a starting quarterback because of the rushing yards. I mean, the guy was scoring like two a game there, his first couple starts, and he still scores a touchdown a game even when he doesn't start. So
completely
that rushing quarterback is huge.
Completely off topic, but we're talking about Taysom Hill, man. The best thing, do you remember a few weeks ago when you could start him at tight end? That whole fiasco that caused.
I'm in one ESPN league, and I texted my neighbor and said, I suppose you're playing Taysom Hill at tight end. He's like, well, yeah, he's eligible. I was like, God, that is just so sleazy. That is the most ridiculous thing ever. I loved how ESPN came out and said they were going to fix it after this week. It's like, why are you waiting till after this week? Fix it now. He's not a tight end. But yeah, that was like a free space for anybody who happened to have him in the ESPN league. So lucky for them. We've got, our next episode is probably going to be right around New Year's, depending on, of course, our schedules. So college playoffs are set, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Any early thoughts on those games, and who do you think will come out the victors?
So I'm excited for both of these games for kind of the same reason, but different reasons altogether too. When you look at it, these are two rematches from different seasons. You've got Notre Dame versus Alabama. I think we all remember that Notre Dame game with Manti Te'o and coming into that huge defense, and they just got absolutely blown out. So I'm interested to watch this game and seeing if Notre Dame can put up a better fight against Alabama than they did a few years ago in the national championship. They're not going to. I think they're going to get blown out.
They're going to get steamrolled.
Alabama, in my opinion, is the best team in college football right now, and I don't think it's particularly close. So and a lot of people think Texas A&M got snubbed. If Texas A&M was playing Alabama, it'd be the same. It's the same outcome, in my opinion. Like, Alabama's just that good of a team. When you look at Clemson, Ohio State, I think we're all equally excited just to see this Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence rematch. I mean, this is the game that I'm tuning in on, not just because I'm an Ohio State fan, but because you've got number one versus number two in this draft coming in. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Once again, when you look at Justin Fields, we talked about his blitz pickup issues that I've seen this year. he's got to fix that this game, because if he doesn't, this is going to be a long afternoon for him. They're not going to be able to put up the points against Clemson if he doesn't fix some of these issues. So they're going to have to get creative with the way they scheme things. But this is going to be the game of the college football playoffs that I'm really looking forward to. So I'm picking an Alabama-Clemson national championship. I know we're all getting tired of seeing that, but that's just the way it's going to be for the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, when, you know, Alabama comes in with the, you know, recruiting class on signing day and as the number one overall class, and, you know, Ohio State, I think, was number two and Clemson was number five, this is what happens, right? We're going to see these guys, you know, year after year after year. You know, Trevor Lawrence is going to leave for the NFL, and what does Clemson do? Oh, we're just going to replace him with the number one quarterback prospect that came in and, by the way, looked really good in DJ Uiagalelei. So, yep, the good teams, they don't rebuild, they reload. We've said that a few times, and I'm really looking forward to these games. I too want to see just a great game with Clemson and Ohio State. I mean, just, you know, one of those back and forth games where you could say I legitimately could come down to whichever team has the ball last. I mean, those are the games we want. And then whoever wins, I want them to give Alabama a run for their money. I mean, I don't really have a vested interest in who wins. I know people that obviously do, you know, such as yourself. I've got a brother-in-law that really loves, you know, Notre Dame. I've got my brother who just happens to like Alabama. So, you know, for those guys, I kind of root for them because I know they'll enjoy it more. But, you know, for me, it's like, well, whatever. I just want to see good football. And the beautiful thing is we're guaranteed to watch, you know, kind of the last chance to watch these Devy assets or these Devy prospects in a big game, in a big situation. I haven't heard of any that aren't going to play in these games. I think when they're in the playoffs, the guys don't skip the game. So you'll see a lot of that. Like, was it, I think Kyle Pitts might've said that he's going pro and he's not going to play in a bowl game. So it is that final chance to see him in actual game time before we get that long break between, you know, we go to the underwear Olympics at the combine, and then we get the draft finally. So,
yeah, it's enjoy it, right? You know, this is your last chance, as you said, to see these guys. Enjoy the game, because after this season, all the analysts are going to come out. We're going to start breaking down these guys. We're going to start put guys above certain people because of things that we like better or things that we like less. You know, knocking guys down. So, it becomes very analytical and very debatable after this. This slate of games. So just enjoy the games, enjoy good college football, because after that comes the film grinding season and all of the hot takes and whatnot that come from that.
Yeah, I am ready for the off season or the non-point scoring season, as it were. It's fun to, I've already started to look at my leagues and where I have, you know, draft picks and where that ended up. So kind of planning for that. And then of course I'll tinker with my rankings quite a few times between now and when those drafts kick off in May. But for our topic, we're just going to briefly get into some of the names, of course, not in the 2021 class, but the 2022 class. It's time to get ahead a year because there are Debbie guys in this class. It's setting up to be perhaps a down year. We've had a couple of really good ones in a row. And, you know, this happens. It's cyclical. Of course, we don't know who all is going to come back that we don't expect. You know, we're already hearing guys, you know, like I said, Kyle Pitts, Diami Brown, I think announced today. So guys are starting to announce that they're going pro, but there's some guys, of course, that aren't eligible and we get to watch them for another year. So let's start at the quarterback position and kind of just talk about them back and forth. But in my opinion, there is a tier one, as always, I like to tier my rankings, and it's two guys. And for me, it's Sam Howell from North Carolina and Keaton Slovis from USC. Do you agree with that tier one assessment? Do you have anyone else that you would put up there, perhaps?
I would definitely agree with those two. I think for me, if I'm putting my tier one would definitely be three guys. I'm putting Sam Howell up there. Obviously, you're putting Keaton Slovis up there just for the seasons they're having. I've got Spencer Rattler up there in my tier one as well. And I know you're laughing at me because you know that I traded for him, so I might have a little bit of bias going on, but when you watch Spencer Rattler, I mean, he's got some growing to do. Look, he's playing his first season of college football, so he's going to have those growing pains. But some of the things that he does with the football sometimes, some of the throws that he's able to make off platform, just launching the ball, it's I'm not saying that the kid's going to be Patrick Mahomes, so I don't want you to hear that come out of my mouth. because that's a lofty expectation for a kid in college. But he does some Mahomes-esque stuff with the football that is very rare for kids with his experience to do. I mean, throwing off platform, just dropping dimes across his body to receivers 35, 40 yards down the field. I mean, this kid does special things with the football. He's underrated as an athlete when it comes to his legs. He doesn't run the ball. He's a pure pocket passer, but he is an athlete, and he can't escape the pocket and extend play. So I like that. I've got to see him cut down on just the running around in the pocket and trying to do too much with the football. That's something that I think he gets knocked on a lot. But I love Spencer Rattler, and I think he can be in that tier one with those other guys.
Yep, I think when we have this conversation, you know, near the middle to end of next season, that wouldn't surprise me at all if he's up there in, you know, with those two guys, because it's not like he's super far behind. And I think you nailed it right on the head when you said he's got a little growing to do. And that's because those other guys played as freshmen. Spencer Rattler didn't. So now he's getting in there, and it's really his first season. And he continues to make plays, like you said, that you're like, wow, this guy's got it. I mean, he's so good. And you can see that he hasn't even really started to get into where his ceiling could be, because he could be something special. And I think that's what a lot of the people out there in the industry are saying about this kid. Whereas, you know, Sam Howell, definitely a pocket passer, but, you know, he makes all the throws. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. He can anticipate where guys are going to be, and he's putting up just absurd numbers in two consecutive years, you know, in North Carolina. And then Keaton Slovis continues to look really good at USC. Definitely had a shortened season this year.
Except for last week. He didn't look so hot last week.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, like we said, right? I mean, guys have the occasional bad game. I mean, it's even more excusable this year because things are just so weird. I mean, it's not anything like normal where they've got, you know, 12 games on the schedule. They're playing pretty much every week. The practice schedule is set. The camps were normal. I mean, none of that was normal. So you really have to remember that when you're grading these guys, in my opinion. Of course, you know, you want them to be able to adjust to these kinds of situations, because that's life. I mean, you got to be able to adjust to things that happen. But it also can make things more difficult, especially if it is your first year, you know, like Rattler. So yeah, those three guys are all what I would say first round, you know, potential first round quarterbacks for sure in the next draft, you know, when they're eligible. So we get into the next kind of bunch, and I've got, you know, I'm just going to throw some names out again. Jaden Daniels, Arizona State. You've got Phil Jurkovec from Boston College. You've got Dylan Gabriel, you mentioned at UCF, looking really good. Had a great, you know, he's had a great couple of seasons. And then some less proven guys from the Big Ten, Graham Mertz from Wisconsin, who started off maybe as hot as anybody in the league and then really, really fell down after that. And Talia Tungavaiola at Maryland, who had his season shortened by an injury there at the end. But, you know, any thoughts on any of these five guys?
So I love myself some Jaden Daniels. When we mention athletic quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels is one of those guys that he throws a nice ball, but I mean, what he can do with his legs is impressive. And we've talked about what that's going to give you for a floor. I think Jaden Daniels might have probably the highest, I wouldn't say highest ceiling. I like him as a prospect. I like what Jaden Daniels can do. So he's one that I want to keep an eye on. I really have Tagovailoa up there, I think, more than maybe I should right now. I love what Tagovailoa does with the football. I mean, the way he's led that offense. I mean, he had, what, two or three straight games of 400 passing yards. I mean, just lighting it up in the Big Ten. So I like that. I'm lower on Phil Jurkovec, I know, than you're going to be. There's just some things, consistency issues that I see with him. So he's definitely probably, if I'm ranking my tier two guys as Jaden Daniels and Tagovailoa, tier three, I probably got a mix of Jurkovec, Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel throws a great ball. He's lit it up this season. And then probably I've got a tier four of just Mertz. I mean, he started off hot, but right now he's in a little bit of a slump right now, and I need to see him improve all that.
Yeah, and the thing with Mertz, and I, you know, far be it for me to defend a Wisconsin quarterback, but the thing with him is that, you know, he even, you know, he didn't he didn't just get impacted by COVID. I mean, he had COVID, so he had to sit out. Then their team got a bunch of people with COVID, and they lost games. I mean, it was just the Wisconsin season ended up being just an absolute mess. Still managed to win the longest running rivalry in all of college football against my Gophers this weekend in overtime on yet another missed field goal by my Gophers in overtime. But that's how we roll here.
When do you start recruiting kickers at this point? I mean, it's getting bad.
There's gotta be some soccer player around here that can kick a football. It's like, just sign them up and let's go. But yeah, I would agree with you. I think Jaden Daniels has the highest ceiling here. You know, I'm not a huge Dracovic fan, but I do think he plays a good game. He has he's more athletic running the football than you would think from a guy that's 6'4". You know, he's a big kid, but he moves deceptively well. So he's not a round one prospect by any stretch. You know, probably not even day two, but you know, he could be a day three guy for sure. I think a lot of these guys might fall into that category, except for, I would agree, Tonga Viola has a higher ceiling because he looked really impressive at times. I mean, he obviously is going to get you yards with his legs, so that's huge. And the rest of them are all, you know, in the kind of we'll see category, except, you know, Dylan Gabriel. I mean, he's got the production, you know, two consecutive years now to back it up, you know, filling in at UCF after that McKenzie got hurt. But, you know, he's had, you know, two straight years of over 3,000 yards, 29 and 30 touchdowns, dropped his interceptions from 7-4 this season. So he's definitely looking good, and he can move the ball a little bit, you know, with his legs as well. So
I believe he leads the nation in passing yards and touchdowns, doesn't he? Or am I making that up?
That I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked at the leaders. If you want to check that out while I preamble on for a while here, you go right ahead. But we're going to transition into the running back position. I think this might be one of the shorter conversations we have about running backs ever, because in my opinion, it is definitely a down year at running back. You know, I've got Breece Hall as my number one running back at Iowa State. This kid has just, you know, gone crazy this year. I mean, backed up his freshman year with an outstanding, you know, sophomore season. And he looks like the real deal. After that, I mean, I like Isaiah Spiller at Texas A&M. I actually like him quite a bit. And there's a couple other guys, you know, Eric Gray at Tennessee. You know, we're dropping a tier here for me each time. After that, it gets pretty thin pretty fast. What are your thoughts on these running backs? And am I missing somebody that should be obvious?
So for me, Breece Hall is in a tier by himself, and I don't think that's much of an argument. I don't think you're sitting over there shaking your head, so I don't think you're going to argue with me. What Breece Hall does between the tackles, I mean, he's elusive. He's got the long speed. He's got the production profile. I mean, this kid is special, and he's in a tier by himself. After this, it gets a little murky. I'm personally an Eric Gray fan. I like what he does between the tackles, and I love the way he receives the football. He's probably one of the better pass catchers out of this group that we're talking about. So I like his potential to be a PPR machine for these guys. Outside of that, I mean, you got Spiller. One of the guys that we should mention is Ole Miss's Jerrion Ealy. For me, there's a little bit of size. I mean, I know we were just talking about Devontae Smith and the size concerns there, but there's a little bit of size concerns for me for the running back for Jerrion Ealy. But you can't argue with the production profile that he's put on. After those four guys, though, I mean, it's such a massive drop-off. And, I mean, there could be guys like, I mean, take Javonte Williams this year, right, where somebody comes in, and Javonte Williams wasn't getting talked about a whole lot in the Debbie community last year, and all of a sudden he blows up and has one of the best one of the best seasons for a college running back, and helps his draft stock tremendously. So there could be some guys like that to come in, but for me, it's these four guys with Breece Hall in a tier by himself, and then who the heck knows?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a good point on Williams. I mean, somebody's bound to step up. We just don't know who. I'm not a big John Emery guy, you know, at LSU. He's just a guy for me. You know, Zach Charbonnet, I've never been a big fan of his athletic profile. Anything special to me.
I've dropped him just about all of my Debbie list. I'm not a Zach Charbonnet fan, especially after this year. I mean, he doesn't look like he has it.
Yeah, I was actually, you know, getting back to LSU, was actually hoping that Tyrion Davis Price was going to step up and show me more this year, but much like the rest of LSU, other than, you know, Kayshon Boutte, the freshman wide receiver, no, not much. They were a huge disappointment. So Zonovan Knight, you know, NC State, again, kind of just a guy. So yeah, it's pretty thin at running back. Wide receiver, there's a few names, especially at the top of the list, I think people can definitely get excited about. For me, it's kind of a three-way tie, if you will, or three guys in that top tier with George Pickens at Georgia, Garrett Wilson at Ohio State, who I love more and more that I watch this kid. And speaking of guys that I love more and more, David Bell at Purdue. He has convinced me this guy is the real deal. I thought, you know, it was just one of those catch lightning in a bottle, you know, last year when Rondale Moore got hurt. No, this kid is the goods. He's a very, very good prospect, a great wide receiver. So those are my tier one wide receivers 2022 class. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with you on this one. There's a top three tier for me. Garrett Wilson, I have at number one. I've not been shy about saying that Garrett Wilson is my 2022 wide receiver one. I just love what he does, his physicality that he brings to the table, his go up and get the ball mentality, and he's a pretty good route runner, and he has great hands when it comes to it. So I love Garrett Wilson. The thing with David Bell, right, was can he do this with Rondale Moore on the field? I think that was everybody's argument. And what we've learned is, yes, absolutely he can. Like, this kid has got it. He's solidified himself as a tier one receiver. I love David Bell. George Pickens is the only thing that's really limited him, right, is his quarterback play. He's one of those guys. He's a great wide receiver. He just didn't have the quarterback throw to the ball. And now that's fixed a little bit with JT Daniels. So I love these top three guys. There's another guy that I really, really like the more I watch, but I'll wait to talk about him until we get to our tier two guys.
Yeah, you know, good point on Pickens with the quarterback play, and I think too scheme is a big factor there. You know, they like to run the ball. They play, you know, tough defense. That's kind of their style. So they're just not going to put up the amount of plays and the opportunities for a wide receiver to dominate there in Georgia that you would normally see, you know, from some of these other guys. But you know, Pickens absolutely has all the traits that you're looking for. Getting into that next tier, one of the big risers this year. And I think we all expected a guy from this team to step up and be good. I think I picked the wrong guy. I was thinking Trey Knox from Arkansas. Really liked, you know, his player profile coming into the season and thought, man, this kid's going to be stepping up. And instead, he, you know, did kind of like the Matador where he just moved to the side and let Treylon Burks explode into our lives. Man, that kid is a really good wide receiver, and he continues to look good. And you're hearing more and more people talk about Treylon Burks. What do you think about this kid? And then the other one I've got, you know, kind of in this next level is Devin Williams from Oregon, who I know we both liked coming in, and he's shown enough flashes to justify, you know, our appreciation for his game and why we have him so high up on our lists.
Treylon Burks was the one guy that I was talking about that I'm trying really, really hard not to put in this tier one of guys. The more I watch this kid, the more I just fall in love with what he does on the field. I mean, he's got one of the bigger bodies of these guys that we're talking about, and he uses every bit of that in his game. I like his big play ability. I mean, he's averaging, what, 16 yards per catch both of his seasons? So, I mean, I love his big playability. I love what he does with the football. He's a fast riser in Devy communities. And I'm trying hard not to rank him in the tier one guys, but it's getting harder and harder the more he plays because this kid is dynamic. We like Devin Williams. He's flashed. We need to see him do it some more. I'm still not comfortable putting him in the same tier as Treylon Burks. They're not the same player to me. I would much rather have Treylon Burks than I would have Devin Williams. I know that's crazy to you because I tried to trade for Devin Williams in the offseason with you over and over again. You wouldn't do it. And that, I mean, that was justified. This kid's earned. he's earned you saving on, holding on to him. But, yeah, I mean, Devin Williams is a next tier for me. I love Treylon Burks. I mean, there's not enough good things you can say about what this kid does.
Yeah, if Burks can pick up where he left off, you know, if he picks up next year where he left off this year and continues to produce at that level, he's going to find himself, you know, into that tier one conversation, you know, because like you said, you you know, 6'3", 220 pounds. He's a big kid, and we like that size. You know, the thing with Devin Williams is, you know, kind of like, you know, other Pac-12 players in that they really had a shorter season. And so he didn't get as much opportunity to show what he can do. He flashed in a couple of games, but I think if you get him a full season with Tyler Shuck there, they could really do some great things. So I like the future of Devin Williams. And I think he could, you know, still be flying enough under the radar where, you know, Devy managers could get him later in their Devy drafts. When you get those, usually those are run in, you know, February, March or whenever, and, you know, people won't be having him high in their list. I think a lot of people are going to start, you know, if they haven't already, really start jumping ahead to that 2023 class. You know, we talked about very few running backs in 2022. Well, that's because there's so many good ones in 2023. And so this kid could slip. And so that's something to keep in mind, because his value could really increase next season with a full year. So I love him a lot, man. After that, there were quite a few guys that I was really hoping for more from and just didn't get, you know, to see enough, especially the two guys at Clemson, you know, Frank Ladson Jr. and Joe Ngata. You know, Ngata couldn't stay healthy. There was plenty of, you know, vacated targets at Clemson. And instead, you know, Amari Rodgers comes out of nowhere and absolutely dominates for them. And neither one of these two guys really, I think, fulfilled the promise that we had, or the hopes that we had for them. And then another pair of teammates on my list of kind of disappointments, Theo Weiss and Jaden Hazelwood, you know, from Oklahoma. And I expected them to be a lot more productive. So those are four of the bigger wide receiver names from the class that they need to come back and prove something next year to kind of restore our faith in them. You know, what do you think of these four guys?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with Joe Ngata is just the health issues this year. We haven't seen what we thought we were going to see just because of injuries. And I think a lot of that solved next year. Once we get a healthy Joe Ngata, we see him more utilized. And Frank Ladson started off hot. He's simmered down a little bit since all that. It's been the Amari Rodgers show for Clemson. When it comes to Oklahoma's receivers, you know, the draft capital that Theo Weiss and Jaden Hazelwood were getting, you know, Hazelwood had that injury, so he automatically dropped down for a lot of people. But, I mean, Weiss has just not been the receiving threat that we thought he was going to be. I think, you know, a lot of those targets have rolled over to Marvin Mims, the freshman. He's been the real benefactor of this offense. So, I mean, he's one to keep an eye on for the year after this. I mean, after this for me, I mean, you've got a list of, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the names. You've got Zay Flowers, who I know you love, who we hopefully see more of. Joshua Moore, Micah Pittman, Donovan Green, maybe. I mean, Donovan Green's looked great for Wake Forest, but then again, there's the consistency issues. So, I mean, after really the top four guys we've talked about, it's a whole lot of who knows for these guys. I mean, I think everybody has got some questions to answer about various aspects of their game, whether it be injuries or just consistency stuff.
Exactly. I would agree. You know, you mentioned the name Donovan Green. That's always been one of my favorites kind of coming in, one of my sleepers. And he's shown enough that I think the future is still bright for this kid, but he needs to show more. He needs to be more consistent. I would really love it if he would be, you know, leading his team in targets and receptions and yards and, you know, kind of be the guy there. He doesn't need to put up, you know, Devonta Smith numbers. I mean, he's not playing in Alabama, but he has the capability to be a bigger play guy, you know, similar to, I think, what we saw from, you know, a freshman in the same conference in Pittsburgh's Jordan Addison, right? I mean, I see those guys as kind of similar players, and Jordan Addison flashed, you know, getting ahead of ourselves, but, you know, we all got excited about him. You know, thank you to, you know, Brian Shikocious, who couldn't join us today, as his one of his preseason darlings. And, you know, that's what I'm hoping for from Donovan Green at Wake Forest. The other guy that I'm just not sold on, but he does produce and he plays well, is Drake London at USC. You talk about size. I mean, this kid's like 6'5", and he looks just so much taller than the rest of the guys on the field, almost like he should be playing basketball. But I just don't know if he has that enough of athleticism and fluidity to his game to take that to the next level you know, what do you think on London? Are you interested in him at all in a Devi league? Not, you know, C2C is different, but how about Devi?
In a later rounds, yeah, I'm interested in Drake London. There's some stuff about his games. I mean, you mentioned his fluidity, getting in and out of breaks and lowering his hips to cut off breaks. I mean, he's obviously a big guy, so that's an issue that I spot in his game. He's not going to be your top tier of wide receivers in this class, but I mean, if you're talking a later round Devi pick, yeah, I'm fine with that. But there's some other guys in this class that I'd much rather have other than Drake London. But I mean, he's having himself a great season too. So shout out to Shaq for calling that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shaq, you know, we hope you're listening. Hope everything's going well. We miss you, guy. We love you. You're the best. So let's, you know, briefly talk tight ends. I think there's a real argument to be made to almost bypass this class entirely at tight end. But there's one guy that I really do like, so I want to mention him. But, you know, it's hard to not immediately start looking at the 2023 class because there's already a couple of freshmen who have flashed enough or look good enough. It's like, wow, we got to wait two more years for these kids to be eligible because, you know, Michael Mayer and Eric Gilbert are both legit tight ends. I mean, they already looked the part. But sticking to 2022, Texas A&M, Jalen Weidermeyer, I think this kid has a nice future, and he's probably the one guy that if I'm in a tight end premium league or if I'm in a two tight end league, I'm gonna have to, you know, put him on my draft boards because I think he can make it into the NFL and be a productive player. He's got the athleticism to get you some production. You know, jumped up to 40 catches this year for 430 yards, six touchdowns, had 32 for, you know, 450 and six last year. So a couple of years of a pretty good tight end production, which is what you want to see. And, you know, I like Weidermeyer. So he's honestly the only one from this class. Of course, 2021 is loaded with tight ends. So it doesn't surprise me that this class isn't quite as good. Your thoughts on Weidermeyer?
I'm going to say it right now. If you need a tight end, do it in the 2021 rookie draft. Because if you don't get your tight end there, you are out of luck. yeah, I like Weidermeyer. I like what he does. I like his NFL prospects. Another guy that I kind of want to just briefly mention is somebody, just because I've watched a lot of Devontae Smith film, I want to mention briefly Alabama's wide receiver, Jaleel Billingsley. He's got 221 yards and two touchdowns on the season. He's got an 18.4 yard average. So what he does down the field as a receiving threat is pretty impressive. Hopefully he steps up next year. I like him. When you mentioned Texas A&M, you know, I kind of got brought back to Weidermeyer's teammate in Baylor Cup. And I want more than anything for him to recover from injury and be actually able to play a season. Because I liked his film coming out of high school. But he's a guy that, I mean, you can't draft right now just because we haven't seen him play yet. I mean, he hasn't played a college football game. I don't think he might have. I mean, he's somebody that you can't draft right now. I like Baylor Cup. Hopefully we see him do a little bit more. I like Greg Dulcich from UCLA. But, I mean, after you drop those two guys, Billingsley and Weidermeyer, I mean, there's not a whole lot of tight ends that I'm interested in this class. You know, get your tight ends in 2021 because you're not going to get them in this class.
Yeah, exactly. Or like I said, you wait for 2023. Depends on who you have on your NFL roster, if you can afford that. But that's great. Those are good names to think about, but not ones that you're going to want to draft right now. That is it for the topic for today. And of course, like I said, we're not going to be back for a couple weeks. So we got the Christmas holiday coming up. I hope that all of our listeners have a wonderful holiday and New Year's. Thankfully, the year of 2020 is coming to an end. So that is awesome. And if you're traveling, travel safe, stay safe. Hopefully you can enjoy it with the family. I'm personally going to Texas to finally see my family. We had to cancel Thanksgiving together, so this will be awesome. They're already there, the rest of the family. So we leave on Wednesday morning. Got our heavy duty masks and we're ready to wipe down the airline seats and go there and then hunker down for a week. But how about yourself? You got anything going for the holidays?
Yeah, we've got a busy holiday actually. Me and my wife are doing our Christmas on Christmas Eve. We go to our Christmas Eve service and then we're going over to my parents' house for Christmas morning and then driving up to Charlotte to see her family. So we're seeing everybody's family, doing a lot of traveling, but it's gonna be a good time. We've got a full house to see her family. I think she has three other siblings, and they're all married or dating somebody with some kids. So it's a big family that I'm excited to see. Individually, of course, can't get everybody in the same room, but we'll have to find some way to figure all that out. But it's going to be a good time. We're looking forward to the rest and relaxation of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm already done working for the year, although I still log on and do a little bit here and there, but it's nice to not have to worry about that. So let's end it as usual. You know, Matt, where can people find your work and where are you on Twitter?
So you guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. My rankings are up on Dynasty Nerds. I just had a recent article drop today on Dynasty Nerds previewing the first slate of college football bowl games and the NFL prospects and Devy prospects that you need to know for those games. There's a few for each game, so make sure to check those out for some names that you need to watch. I just recently put out my 2021 quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end rankings on Twitter. So if you go to my Twitter page, you won't have to search too far to find those. So feel free to destroy me on some of those. Give some of your opinions. Some people already have given their opinions on what those rankings are. So I've got some controversial rankings on there. So feel free to reach out and debate me on some of those guys. I love talking college football and love talking these prospects. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. Always love talking football.
Yes, yes, it is the season to get into our rankings and have good, healthy, fun debates on Twitter and not get crazy and nasty on there. Shaq, of course, is our other co-host at Dynasty Tools on Twitter. He does some film editing over at Dynasty Nerds, co-hosts the Dynasty Tools podcast. So shout out to you, Brian. Like I said before, we love you. We miss you. We hope you have an awesome holiday. Well, of course, we'll be texting during the holidays as usual. And for myself, my name is Skip Newton, at Skip Newton 31. I used to cover the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room. However, the big announcement came out just earlier this week that we are now part of the NFL Draft Bible. So huge announcement. I just love working with these guys, you know, both at the Draft Bible and those of us that were already at Dynasty Draft Room. I mean, it's just a fun group. We're having, you know, meetings every other week to talk Devy and what we're writing and covering and article ideas. And they're just a fun bunch of guys. Absolutely thrilled to be included in this huge, you know, combination of two great NFL draft Dynasty and Devy sites. So that was big news. We of course are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts with the Dynasty Happy Hour, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. So they just dropped a podcast, you know, recorded last night. So really good one. They're getting into their dynasty running back rankings. So I think they started with quarterbacks a couple weeks ago. They did running backs last night. So those are always good. Then every other week you got Chasing the Points. And then in the non-point scoring season, Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, will come back and talk about the DHH contractor where he gets into your Devy rosters and gives you a roadmap for success. So that's a good pod as well. You got to listen to that. Thank you to the listeners again. Hope you have a wonderful holiday, whatever that you celebrate. Enjoy that as safely as you can, hopefully with loved ones, family, friends, what have you. Again, my name is Skip Newton at Skip Newton 31. And just want to do my final thank you and appreciation for all the people over at the Dynasty Draft Room and NFL Draft Bible. Again, I'm so happy to be a part of it. So thank you guys for welcoming me into your family. It's been a blast. It's been a privilege, and I'm looking forward to some awesome times ahead. So that is it for us. Everyone, take care. Have a wonderful new year and be a good human.